Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in on DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talk back show and today we have two Perth-based comedians, Pony, who is Jodie Lawrence, and also David Tuffley. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you very
us.
Much.
It's great to see you both in the flesh. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, how long have you guys been doing comedy for?
You can go first.
They're so polite.
Thank you, Tuffley. I have been doing comedy 3 years now, and I started because my friend Emma Krause, who also does comedy, turned 40 and had a midlife crisis and decided she would do comedy, and then suddenly I'm now talked into it. So it's a good addiction. I don't know. I don't even know what I'd do without it at the moment. I'd probably just be a mum.
I just can't imagine mom. You just as a mum.
Imagine
Jodie.
That. That'd be crazy.
What about yourself, David?
I've been doing it for did my first gig about 8 years ago. Just a friend at work just tried it a few times and she said, you've got to just at least try it. And then just did it one time and kind of went well. And I went, oh, may as well just keep doing this for a bit.
Yeah.
And then just kind of kept doing it and then still doing it.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, it's addictive.
It sure is. What do you both, what do you get out of comedy, but what you personally?
I was telling someone the other day about this. I have a lot of chats. There's a comedian, John Pinder, who's already been on this.
Pinder's next week, actually.
All right. So, and he was telling me about, it's all about the connection, and it really resonated for me. Last week I had a big breakthrough and it's like, yes, all it is is we're connecting with these people through humour. It's as simple as that. Like, so much easier than having to talk to someone about just general chit-chat. I hate having normal chats. Like, I'd much rather get out there and connect through, like, a joke or have a laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really bad at socialising unless I'm making them laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, so for me, it's that connection. And I never saw it as that until, yeah, people, like, you talk to other comedians and you find out what they are doing it for.
Yep. No, it makes sense. Mm. What about yourself, David?
I'm pretty much the opposite. I just like writing jokes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and just trying to think, write something that hopefully is funny. And then, yeah, just I just have to do gigs to see if they're actually funny.
Yeah.
But to see if I'm on the right track. So it's kind of, I like the other process of just writing jokes. So the last few months has been cool.
I don't have to gig.
Now I got to try them out.
I was like, damn, I've got to leave home.
Yeah. What has been your biggest learning curve or bomb on stage? Jerry, did you want to go?
Toughly never bombs. He's never, ever bombed.
No, really. A couple of times. Yeah, it depends on the crowd. Sometimes someone might get upset or something.
Mm.
But usually it's okay.
How do you manage it if someone gets upset?
Oh, look, it hasn't happened very often.
Okay. I know, I'm thinking, I can't imagine with you.
Someone once actually, I was at a comedy lounge and someone got really upset and they were crying and they left.
Whoa.
Wow.
And they went downstairs and the security person came back up into the green room and says, I said, who was on when that happened? And he goes, you were. I'm like, oh, damn. And then, but it turns out, it was something I said within a joke. It was a word that triggered something.
Okay.
The joke had something to do with a hairbrush.
Ooh.
But the point was that she'd just found out that her husband was cheating on her by finding someone's hair in the hairbrush.
Oh, God.
So it's nothing to do with the joke.
Yeah,
so that was a bit weird.
Yeah.
But, and this other time, It was a very senior crowd and one lady was a little bit offended by one joke, but everyone else was fine, so I just had to talk to her for a little bit. And
during.
I had to address
you
it.
You did crowd work.
Well, she was really vocal.
Oh, okay.
you couldn't avoid
it. You can't ignore it sometimes. Yeah. But not very often.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. And what about yourself, Jodie?
I think the biggest times that I'm off is when I've had a mad rush getting kids ready, dropping them off, and then you rock up. It's like, now be funny. And it's like, I can't just switch off like that. So any times that it's been hectic getting to a gig, I'm never, ever feel like I'm on.
Yeah. No, yeah. I can relate to that. Okay, so what was the best moment as a performer?
I am part, I don't know if you've already introduced, but I'm part of a group called The Motherhood, and any time that any of us do really, really well and we have that just massive bond of being like rooting for each other type thing. Yeah. And so any time one of us does well, we can feel it, and like it just feels so good. And I was watching Emma Krause on, and a pregnant woman ran out. Actually, she'd actually weed herself, and I was just like the proudest moment I've ever been. Like
because someone pissed themselves.
Oh, they actually pissed themselves laughing. Like that is, you can't get better than that.
Oh, that's gold.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Toughly?
Oh, best moment on stage. I don't know, it's been like whenever it's going well from, you can always tell straight away in a gig, like I'm really nervous, and then one joke and you're going, oh, that's what it's going to be. As long as the first joke's really good, I always feel really good for the whole set.
Yeah.
I know that it's going to be all right. Other times you've got to sort of work your way through it and get to a point that you want it to be, but soon, there's been a few you just know it's a nice crowd and
yeah,
they're gonna like whatever you say.
Your persona is about being that nervous guy.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes I know it's a good gig before I speak. I just go.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
that's from a bit of nervous. I did that at the for my first gig. Like I was really nervous.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, well, they like that.
Yeah,
so that's funny. I'll
keep doing that weird giggle.
Yeah. Jodie, you did mention The Motherhood. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about The Motherhood and how it was created?
Emma and I live way out in the bush, and we used to go to all the hassle of getting kids babysat and sorted just to come into the city on a Monday or Tuesday night for an open mic gig to test jokes, and we'd rock up and there'd be 5 17-year-olds in the audience, and no one wants to hear about mum jokes when you're a 17-year-old out on a Monday night. It was 18-year-old, whatever you are. Yeah. So we were like, right, we're going to have to create our own crowds, and this was early on. I'd only been doing comedy 2 months or something, and we were like, we need our own crowd. So we went and got our speakers, we got some gear, and we were like, we're just going to start doing gigs. And we actually did our very first gig for NY Events, which is what you run. And from there, we did that at the Kalamunda Hotel, and from there we've done something like 55-60 gigs with that, touring that first show. We just came back from Adelaide Fringe in March, and then we've had a second Fringe show, which we toured last year, and then this year we've had our third Fringe show, Mum's Gone Wild. And so unfortunately we haven't been able to do that one as much, but we're really looking forward to the next 6 months of bookings with Mum's Gone Wild.
It's an amazing, so to give everyone a bit of history of us, NY Events' first comedy show ever was the Motherhood's first comedy show ever, and that was kind of the birth of both of ours.
It was.
It was incredible and just so fun, and I think that's why we've got such a good working relationship, because it just sort of bonded us all. And and to watch how much you guys have grown and where you've, where you began to where you are now, I mean, in awe of you all. So, well done.
It's the best bit about it is none of us, there's four of us. There's Simone Springer, Lucy Ewing, myself and Emma Krause. And not one of us are the same. Simone's a city girl, a go-getter, a hustler. She's got the biggest ideas in the world. Whereas for me, I'm more than happy just to stay in Perth, stay bush, just keep it local. I've got no big ambitions, Lucy's the kindest, lovingest soul, a bit of a nerd, and she's our goodie, a real good teacher sort of girl. And then Emma's currently single, and we're going through that sort of ride with her. And so we're not one of us are the same, and we all really complement each other really well. And as it happened, we were like the only sort of mum comedians at the time, so it all just fitted in. It was amazing.
And there was definitely a niche market,
which we had no idea.
I don't think anyone ever did. And you guys have got a huge fan base.
It's great. Yeah,
you get groups where we get a mother's group.
Oh, and mums or girls going out, they're the best type of drunk.
They want to have a lot of fun. They get a chance.
Well, they've planned it for the last 2 months, so it's going to be a good one.
And they're great cheerleaders as well. They're so supportive, aren't they? Yeah. And they get behind the whole audience is just huge and high. And
it's the best.
It's a good energy. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, sorry. Who are your biggest influencers? And it could be comedy-wise or someone else.
For me, I am mad for female comedians because just watching and following their footsteps, especially Australian ones, I just love watching an Australian female comedian be herself and be so unapologetic for it. And I'm just like, anyone who does that, I'm just like, oh, that's I don't have a particular preference. I'm just all for any chicks that are up there being funny.
Actually, my favourite female comedian is the Australian one.
Yeah.
Kitty Flanagan.
Yes.
She's great.
I just think her specials are so good.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't have any specific people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you watch a lot of comedy?
Yeah.
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 So do I.
I kind of like the people that do shorter jokes.
Yeah.
I don't have the attention span. That's why I probably write shorter jokes. I thought, I want to laugh really quickly. Gonna try and keep it quick.
But you do deliver really well with that as well, I've got to say. You're someone who does it, bang them out fast and you get the laugh. So
If you started on a story, we'd be like, toughly get to the point.
So would I.
Yeah.
How have you developed your career in comedy?
Slowly.
Gigging. So much gigging. You have to, like, how else do you get better?
Yeah, that's true. I probably don't gig enough, to be honest. Probably only like once or twice a week at the most.
But we're parents. That's
I've been a parent the whole time I've done comedy.
Yes, so exactly.
That's what's made it difficult, I guess. So it's always family first.
Yeah,
definitely. So, but that makes you a better comedian because you're real and you've got life stuff.
Yeah, and when you go out, it means something.
Oh,
yeah. You've got to actually try and do well.
We have planned for hours just to,
Yeah, those 5 minutes are really crucial
for
us.
Of course they are.
Don't just go out any other way.
No, exactly.
Yeah. I know Lucy actually posted something about, you know, the green room and stuff like that. Have you guys personally ever experienced any negativity that you're happy to share, don't have to name anyone? And how did you overcome that, especially, I guess, early on when you're, you know, you're not sure of where your path is in the comedy scene.
I used to really be intimidated and I've learnt and I don't know if it's a time thing or an experience thing or just that you feel a bit better in yourself with your jokes, but I now, whatever the comedians think, it means nothing. Like it's as long as the crowd are okay and the crowd are right. Like comedians comedians will laugh if they can hear a new joke that they haven't heard before or if you fail really miserably. So
they laugh harder at that.
Of course they do. So for me, it's not a true test. Like, you know, like to test a joke and to only have comedians laugh, it makes you think, okay, this one isn't a very good one. or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if no crowd are laughing. So for me now, that's the test. Like, but some green rooms, they definitely feel they are very intimidating. I love a room where you're in the room so that you can really feel what's happening. You know, like the Fremantle Comedy Factory where you're actually there and you're not backstage and, you know, you're part of it. So for me, if I'm in a room like that, I feel safe instantly. But I think it takes a bit to feel safe in a room. You know, you've got to know your organiser. You've got to know, like any time I do an NY Events gig, that is my best because I'm so safe. No one's judging me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for me, I think it's a time thing of feeling more comfortable in yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's always going to be hatred whether you're white, you're black, you're female, you know, like I think you just got to.
A few personality clashes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm all for people just getting up there and giving it a go. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, David?
I haven't really experienced maybe a bit of awkwardness because I don't know anyone at first. But now, for me, it's been pretty good for me, to be honest. I don't know if that's a privilege.
I think we kind of keep out of stuff.
Yeah, we do. We try not to get involved. No. When there's gossip going on, I don't get involved in it. I don't.
And I like it that way.
Yeah. Oh, same. Yeah, I always say I'm Switzerland. I do.
Same.
I don't want to be involved in.
Like for a long time, I was like, why don't I have an opinion on anything? And now I've realised it's okay not to. Like I just observe And if there's something I'm passionate about, then of course I'll speak up. But for me, I don't really have opinions. I don't imagine myself ever, fighting for something, unless it's like your kids or family or friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you can clearly see something is wrong, then
definitely.
I have never seen that at a gig myself where I clearly have to do something here.
Yes.
So.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's been...
I've had quite a few derogatory remarks made, but I always feel like another comedian's got my back instantly and will instantly go, that was wrong, you know? So I actually feel quite supported when I've had a real professional comedian. He did some real inappropriate remarks about what I was wearing and what else was it? Just he insinuated some sexual sort of stuff, and I just instantly looked up, and there was so many other comedians just like, mate, that was so I feel supported.
I know. And I grew up, my dad's a tow truck driver, so I kind of, if I got that sort of comment, I'm very quick with throwing stuff back at people, so don't, you know, I'll stick up for myself anyway. I imagine Jody, you know, being out in the bush and stuff, you know, hate to say it, but it's that blokey sort of thing. And, you know, I can imagine you could stand your own ground. But I love that there's been people there to support you and back you up as well, because it's not fun being the only one standing up for yourself sometimes. So
definitely.
Yeah. So it's good that you've had,
positive. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
And it's whether maybe I'm just tune out to the negative. I don't know. But it's been good.
No, but you might just attract the positive as well.
Maybe.
So, yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys some curly questions, so we'll just see how you go with this. If you're a character in a book or a TV show, who would you be and why? Have you got a favourite character?
I don't read books.
What about a TV show then?
A character in a TV show?
Maybe...
What's that guy? I don't even know TV shows very well. Anyone watch The Blacklist?
Yeah.
Who's that guy? The guy that does all the IT stuff. Maybe that guy. I can't even remember his name.
Haram? Sort of being in the background. Background doing random.
Yeah.
Doing random remarks.
Yeah, just not overly confident. Hi, guys. Trying to stick to myself.
Hi, everyone.
I think I speak like that. All right.
I've always loved the ridiculously silly, like the Melissa McCarthy's and that style. So I would love to play like a ridiculous idiot. Like, that would be my dream, because it's easy to do for me.
And what is the dumbest way you've ever been injured?
Oh, dumbest way. Oh, yeah, that's right. When I was I think it's the very last time I went ice skating. The boots I tried on, I got on, they were a bit tight, so I came straight off. I was trying to pull it off, and it came off suddenly and straight into my nose.
Oh my god!
My nose open.
Ow!
So that was the end of that. Yeah, I haven't been ice skating since.
Thank goodness it was your nose.
And right in the middle. Like, I've got a pretty big nose, so I couldn't miss really.
But what if it got you in the eye? Oh my gosh!
That's a good point.
Or the other way, and the nose is just.
That could have been a lot worse too.
I'm really dumb. The other week I always rush, and I've got no spatial awareness. So I'm in the garden, I'm picking up leaves really quickly for my son's bird cage, and I got up really fast and I copped a wind chime straight in my eye. Oof. It hooked, and I had to it scratched my eye. Freaked me out so bad. I do dumb things all the time, so I've got so many dumb injuries. So I'm lucky I didn't lose my eye. I did get a scratch and on the lid and eyeball, but I do some dumb things anyway. Pony, what about yourself?
Probably my most recent would be I was trying to help my daughter do a cartwheel or something, got a massive injury to the mouth. Bruised gum.
Ow, yeah, okay. All right, what is the worst thing you've ever eaten?
I have to say olives.
Olives?
They're one of those foods. It's a love or hate thing. I throw up every time I have an olive. Amazing. But I keep trying every now and again.
Wow.
I couldn't drink coffee until I was 30.
Really?
But I kept trying every now and again because I wanted to be able to drink coffee. And now I love it.
You wanted to fit in.
Yeah.
I just wanted that perk after the morning. Like,
do you think olives is a psychological thing or is
people
it?
Have said that to me, but no, I really try. Yeah. Every well, actually now it's probably every 6 months.
I wonder if it's an allergy.
I'll throw up. It probably is. Never give up.
I'm not very experimental with food, so I just stick to your basics.
Okay.
So for me, I don't know. I eat because if you don't eat, you die. So I don't really care about
food. What about if someone's cooking? Have they ever cooked something really bad for you?
Yeah, and I just eat it. Like, I'm just like, whatever.
Oh, you're so polite.
Well, I guess maybe – no, I'm pretty fussy, but – like, just give me plain. I just want carrot stick or, like, a plain food.
Don't, so you like your meat and five veg.
Don't add all the spices and all that rubbish. Like,
okay. Yeah.
Salt and pepper, too spicy. Don't do it.
What was your favourite thing as a favourite toy, sorry, as a child?
Mine was three brothers. Oh. Flat out, I forced them to play with me.
Yeah.
And that where they had to play full on, like, they were the dad. I was the mum. And if you don't do it properly, you try again. We keep trying to do it right. So, yeah, two of them I was very influential on and I just forced them. I wouldn't let them out and I wouldn't go play bikes or something with them until they'd done their fair time with me. And the instant they came home from school, I'd set up another school and they had to do all their worksheets before they could go play.
That's great.
Yeah. The poor things.
What's the question? Favourite toy, was it?
Favourite toy, yeah.
Not now, not these days, Tuffley. That's disgusting.
Hairbrush. probably like dinosaurs. I was massive fixation on dinosaurs.
Yeah. What was your favourite?
I love the T-Rex. I've actually got pretty short arms as well. So
you could do it well.
My son, he loves dinosaurs. I'll have to show you some of his.
Yeah, I've still got them. Yeah.
Wow. So you might have a new best friend in my son.
Trying to get the kids like them.
Like dinosaurs.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, sorry. If you could time travel, where would you go and why? So, I'm guessing dinosaurs for you, David.
Oh, no. Jeez. I don't know. I guess the future.
Yeah.
Because we've already kind of know stuff about the past. How about learning something you don't know anything about?
Yeah.
Anytime.
I'm quite happy where I am. Mm. I don't need to be anywhere else. However, recently I did some family tree and knowledge and I found out that most of my family sort of born and lived in 2J and so we've got a massive, massive family population there and I would like to just have a little snapshot of what it was like when they were, you know, like my great-great-grandparents, like just to meet them and stuff. That would that'd be real cool. You can't change. Once you've said it, you can't change.
That was a heaps cooler answer. I was like, oh, yeah, we'd like to meet them.
No changing.
That's
so
great.
I'd like just to go back to that time, just maybe just sort of 100 years ago, just to see, you know, where they used to horse ride to school and stuff.
You do realise about 100 years ago there was another plague, so maybe 120 years ago.
Okay, okay, that's fine. Yeah. I can do that.
Okay, sorry. What is some of the best advice you've been given? Even as a comedian it can be. So if someone's given you great advice, have you followed it and what was it?
Being completely unapologetic for who you are. That's a massive line for me, just to keep remembering that. Like, no, this is how I feel and this is what I want. Like, I'm just going to say it. And it's okay if not everyone gets it. Like, there'll be someone that does and someone that goes home happier because of whatever you've said or not even happier but feeling better about themselves.
Yeah, and it resonates with them, doesn't it?
And it's okay to not be for everyone. Like, even as a person, it doesn't have to be in comedy world, but – yeah, like you don't connect with everyone. That's okay.
Yeah.
I think mine would be similar. The I don't have to accept hanging around these people. Like when I was younger, like these are your friends and I just accepted that whether they were like not very nice people.
Yeah.
And then eventually I just went, oh, I don't have to be.
Yeah.
So I've got a much smaller group of friends but they're all great. So, it just makes everything a lot easier.
Yeah.
So
it's true. If you get your right tribe, you're happier, aren't you?
Yeah. Just get those Facebook requests and from them trying to get back in, and you're like, just ignore them. I never say no. I just leave it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Have you ever sent an SMS message to the wrong person and it's gone really wrong?
The worst. That's the worst feeling. Worst feeling ever. Like, so I try not to make others feel bad. So there was one time my friend was meant to come to a party with me. She couldn't go. And I didn't want her to feel bad that she'd missed out. So the next morning I wrote a message. Party was crap anyway, and I sent it to the host. You know?
Like, oh,
it was
no.
crap anyway, don't worry about it. And it wasn't crap. I just was trying to make the other one.
You were people pleasing.
I was. Yeah, and I stuffed it so bad. I felt the worst.
How did you recover?
I tried, but it's never been the same.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Ever.
Yeah. Even though you explained it?
I totally explained it.
See, Pony is publicly apologising to you right now.
That's a convenient way to try and get out of this.
Yes, exactly. So I hated that feeling. It was the worst feeling ever. My brother, actually, he was on a Tinder date, and instead of I want to go out, do you want to go out? Do you want to in out with me? Like, do you want to in out? So she'd never wrote back.
Like, that's it.
Yeah. Do you want to in out with me?
That's a great Tinder fail. Yeah. What about yourself, David?
I don't really text, so it's hard for me to.
No, you just call.
Speak to someone. Like just checking on what time we're here and all that. I always have to call. Because a text, then you require an answer, then you have to answer back to that, and it's just. Like a little conversation that could have been 1 minute ends up like 2 hours long.
So true.
One thing I have done a few times is, because I've got pretty fat fingers, when I'm looking at the messages on Messenger, somehow I'll do like a sad face to something that is totally inappropriate.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's like, or an angry at something that someone's. Yeah, where it doesn't, it's not appropriate. I've done that so many times.
Yeah.
But accidentally, and I don't know how to change it. I'll try and figure that out at some point.
You can remove messages but if you're quick enough. So,
oh, really?
But not SMSs, you're pretty well stuffed.
Oh. But what I do then is explain to everyone, like, I just did a angry face.
There goes half an hour.
I didn't mean to. Sorry. So I have to do that. But, yeah.
What's the craziest thing you've ever done besides comedy, guys?
There's been a lot of. I did a lot of time in the Pilbara, so there's been a lot of 3-day benders, 4-day. I've had that many. I was a little bit wild. I'm banned for life from the casino. That's one. Had to.
Was that pre-Crown Bar? You might be okay now.
It is, yes. Yeah. Since it's Packer now, it's all bets are off.
I think you'll be all right now.
Yes.
Jump on a table or something.
Oh, many times. I get high when I'm tipsy. I get high, so I like to climb and do monkey-ness. So, like, we were on a cruise boat and you can't do naughty stuff on cruise boats. They put you in cruise boat jail.
Have you been in cruise boat jail?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. Can you tell us about this?
They disqualify your card. So you have no drink card. And then they have about maybe 10 security guards just following you around.
I have never even thought that was a thing that would be required.
So what did you do to...
Oh, so that was a lot of climbing around and just pretending, like just trying to get away from my little followers of security and... Do a pretend, woo, like.
I'm going this way now.
Yeah. Doing some touches. Just silly antics. All for a laugh. Anything for a laugh.
That's so funny. Wow. That's a good, some good material there, Pony. Wow. What about you, David?
You're a crazy lad.
I'm really tired. when I was like in my early 20s, I was caring for someone and doing caring shifts, and he just wanted me to start skateboarding. So I started just like, he got me a skateboard and I'd just hang on to his wheelchair and he would just fly around. Then he'd start going, all right, we're going on trips now. We're going to these skate parks. I'm like, I can't do that. And then because I'm his sole carer and we're going like down south for skate parks. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to get myself injured so bad. I never got badly injured. I don't know how that happened.
You were just the coolest carer.
Just lucky.
I was lucky.
You got coolest carer badge.
And he would always try and get me to drink a bit as well while doing it.
Yeah. You're a madman, David Tuffley.
Get rid of your nerves, have a drink.
Crazy man.
Never got particularly good at it, but just, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
What is the best thing about you?
Oh, okay, I'll go first. I'd say most people would say I'm honest.
Yep.
Yeah, that's apparently pretty cool.
That is cool. You're
yeah.
an honest man.
Yeah, so try and be that. So, yeah.
I think mine would be that I'm quite positive about anything.
Yeah.
I do get phased by stuff, but not really.
Yeah.
It's only if I'm tired. Yeah. Yeah, otherwise I'm pretty positive.
All right, so what is a pet peeve of yours and has someone ever done anything to you that has sparked off your pet peeves, like a bad driver or anything along those lines?
I don't like whingers.
Yeah. How have you managed that? Have you got a story?
I probably just stop whinging or walk out. Like we lived in England for a bit and they whinged so bad I left. I left my husband there. I was like, I can't handle the whinging. I just want to go back to people that are happy with life. So, yeah, that was a bold statement to leave the whingers.
That's huge.
Mm. What do you hate, David Tuffley?
Not a lot.
No, you're pretty easygoing yourself.
Yeah, because as I was saying before, I don't really have people in my life that.
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't have to be people. Ah. It could be bugs.
Bugs?
Yeah, it could be
insects.
Anything. Yeah,
I love them.
Do you?
Okay. If I see any bug in my house, I will let it outside.
Oh, that's really kind.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about a bug riding on a dinosaur? That'd be like your heaven. Like.
You're pretty cool.
You're pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't hate enough things, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Really? What about housework? I've got to try to find something.
That's a good point. I don't hate it. I can just avoid it.
Do you ever do it?
Just avoid it.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good lad.
Not all of the things. But like.
Just. Would you like do the sweeping, but just like a little area? Or do you do a full job?
No, not really.
Yeah. So that's why he doesn't clean housework.
Do washing and the clothes and the dishes and maybe not so much of the vacuuming.
Do you leave like the hard pots? Like what?
No.
You would tackle. That, okay, that's good. Oh, yeah. Give me a hard pot.
love cleaning a hard pot.
I love it. Okay. So, all right. Sorry. I'm just getting my questions here.
Yeah, hit us with it.
I know, right? Hang on. I'll get some other ones for you. All right, so if you could make a 20-second phone call to yourself at any point in your life, future or past, what would you say to yourself?
I reckon I'm – what did I just turn? 38. I reckon right now is the best and I reckon it will only get older. Like you feel so much more content with yourself. So back when – you know, like you were testing out boyfriends and like before you actually, and like all the friend stuff, like all of that makes you who you are now. But at the time it was the end of your world. So I just love knowing that you get content, really content with who you are.
Mm.
So maybe just back to, when you're sort of a bit like, who am I? You know, that one. Yeah.
So discovering. Yeah.
Yeah.
What age would you?
Oh, I guess most of those feelings would have had to be 18 through to sort of 20. When you're 25, you feel quite.
Do they have those little phones, the old phones? So you'd have to do that.
Yeah, the pay phone. Yeah, I would have done that. And then you speak to yourself, and Dad would have answered. Hi, Dad.
Yeah.
Can I speak to me?
I'd be too scared to speak to my past self.
Would you?
Then I might somehow. Changed.
You wouldn't have talked back.
Everything.
Oh,
Like, I might have tried to, yeah, it might have changed everything. Yeah. My whole life. I go, oh, no, I don't have any kids now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
just a butterfly effect. So I just talk to my future self and say, yeah, this is how I feel right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, safety first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Got to preserve those kids, right?
Yeah.
One day you will love those hard pots, is what you're...
They're all right. Oh, yeah.
What have you created that you're most proud of?
Oh, if you didn't say kids, you'd be... you didn't ever think of that, did you?
That is one joke. No, yeah.
Has to be family, surely.
Yeah.
That's... Oh, family.
You have to say that.
You have to say that.
Yeah.
That's the only, yeah.
But how do, okay, so how do you both basically get, achieve balance with working, comedy, family then?
Knowing that it's not all going to be perfect.
Okay.
Some days you'll be a wicked-ass mum and some days you won't. And some days you'll be a great wife, some days you'll be a great comedian. Like, you can't have it all. Like, to be a really good comedian, you can't be fit. Don't you reckon? Like, you don't have time for a walk or even eating healthy. If you're like,
yeah,
I feel it's like you can't put all your energy into everything.
Yeah, that's fair.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Your house has to be messy for something else to happen and all that.
Yeah, I tend to put family first, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah.
The only two times I've done comedy interstate, I've made it a family holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Which is not very profitable.
No.
And that's also, it's stressful.
Yeah, I don't actually like being away from my family at all. The longest I've been apart from my wife is one night.
Oh, what? Wow.
At a time.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So, wow.
Wow, the hard pots, that's guys. Huge.
Can I ask you both, how long have you guys been married for then?
Oh, we're not married.
No, yes. I thought we were married.
I've been married for six years.
Oh, wow.
Six years.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Beginner.
And how old are you? How old are your children?
6 and 12.
Wow.
Ooh,
okay.
Is there a little crossover there?
I don't know why I said it that way around.
I get it. 12, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Pony?
Well, I met Blink when I was 19, so we've been together nearly 20 years and married for 12 and a half.
Wow.
Oh.
And how old are your kids as well?
11. I think 10, and I thought she was 8, but she tells me she's 7. So 11, 10, 7. But yeah.
That's great.
Yes. So yes, we've been together a very long time.
You have, yeah. It's like half your life.
Oh, yeah, over.
It's amazing.
And you spent more than a day apart.
Yes. We did 6 weeks the other day because he's FIFO. Yeah, so,
gosh.
On Tuesday, he goes away for 4 weeks. So yeah, we're doing a lot of time apart.
Wow. Yeah, that is a long time, isn't it?
All the better to see you with. My, what big eyes you have. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. But I think when you get to the point of living together and knowing each other for that long, it's kind of...
Yeah, give us another 5, 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Off you go.
How did you meet Blink then?
Because we lived in the Pilbara, so just through Pilbara friends.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But I used to work at a pub up there and he tells me, he saw me and he knew I was the one. But the day that I was with him, he was the fifth guy I'd kiss. So, yeah, he was pretty.
Yeah.
I really knew he was the one.
You two do work really well together, I've got to say. It's beautiful when you see each other, you two.
Yeah, he's very supportive.
What about you, David? How did you meet your wife?
At work, actually.
Oh.
We're actually both working in the same place for probably like 7 or 8 years before.
Yeah.
Because we had different partners at the time for a while, long-term partners, and then timing thing happened and I changed jobs and I became working in her office, sitting right behind her in accounts.
Oh, God.
And then we were just really good friends for a few months and, like, just talk about anything. And we're both very nervous about making the first move because you don't want to stuff up the whole workplace.
Oh, you're the friendship. Yeah.
So eventually we're
things progress
enough to give it a chance.
Nice.
That is great.
Yeah.
And so you've got 2 children. Any more kids that you would have?
Having a go. Having a dig.
Yeah, boy,
With a bit of luck, hopefully.
You love your six-year gaps.
Sorry?
You love your six-year gaps.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect timing.
And then so the one after that, 12 years from
now. Good on you. I always wanted four, but then I had three cesareans and they were just like, no more. It wouldn't be healthy enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had three cesareans. That's tough on your body, isn't it? Really hard,
Three's plenty.
But we're so lucky. We live in a country where, you know, medically we're lucky that we've got these interventions. Wouldn't change it for the world. So, all right. What annoys you most about the in groups that you're part of? So we can talk comedy scene here.
I think we have to because I don't know.
It'd be awkward.
I don't have any problems with any other in groups. So I don't really have actually problems with comedy either.
Nah.
Again, it was like before. Yeah, I pretty much stay out of anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes you worry that you're doing a gig and someone else doesn't like someone else that's at that gig.
Yeah.
And are they worried, you know, what do they think of you because of that?
What, because you said yes to the gig?
Well, because you're doing a gig where someone they don't approve of is doing that gig. Like, it's, I don't know.
It is a fine line.
That's about it. But I stay out of everything as much as I can anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
There are, and as a female for me, like there are certain comedians that I wouldn't want to gig with. But it's because they've done things to not to me, but to others. You know what I mean? So I kind of am supporting my friends by saying I don't agree with this, so I don't want to be a part of your gig, which I think is fair enough.
Yeah, I think so.
Same with me. Everything's been what someone's done to someone else. Yeah, I've never. No one's ever personally.
Yep.
I have a personal problem between me and them.
Yeah.
It's just someone else.
Yes, that's it.
What are some of your personal rules that you'd never break?
I try my hardest. If I say yes, I do it.
Yep.
Like I hate calling in sick, especially for a gig or like a, you know, like that's the worst feeling, letting someone down.
Yeah.
I hate that feeling.
Yeah, I agree with that for me as well. Never.
I think it was really funny last year, UFC, Andrew Wolf, he won it, but he turned up, do you remember? He turned up and he had gastro.
So sick, yes.
And he still came and I was like, oh man, don't pass that on to anyone.
Have you seen him, he's in the national final of Raw?
No.
He'd completely lost his voice. Uh-huh. You could look it up.
Oh my God.
He's got no voice, but he still went through it and did really well.
Oh wow.
That'd be the worst.
Yeah.
How did he manage to do that? He still managed to speak, did he?
Just.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he could just get his words out.
Probably made him sound more angry. Yeah. I said!
I'm sorry, I can't speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no. Kid wise, how have you guys, do your kids know what you do and do they contribute to any of your sets?
Yeah, they definitely know what I do. Yeah. Usually they're like, no, don't go. Stay with me. But I wouldn't say they contribute too much. No. But they do come up with some jokes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That like just they're not quite comedy club comedy.
They're not ready. They need a bit of work.
Yeah.
I used to be really conscious of this. I used to be really worried because a lot of my stuff's about kids and bagging them out. And so now I've changed. I feel like I'm now trying to put them up on a pedestal and me show my flaws. You know what I mean? Because there's no point in bagging them.
They're eventually going
to
see it.
Of course they are. And but, you know, it's so much easier to have a dig at them. Like I think it takes practice to be a better comedian to not put others down. You know, of course you're going to get better at that. But, yeah, I used to be so conscious because my middle bloke, he wants to be a comedian. So I want to, you know, teach him how to do it in a good way. Yeah. I do relief teaching. So now the whole school know that I do that. So all the kids now is coming up going, Miss, tell us a joke. Oh, you know, like I've got a joke. So I feel like it's not just my three kids now. It's 200 other kids that I've got to try and – you know, I've got to be funny for their parents, but I also have to be really conscious of, my material now, I feel.
Fair enough. What is a common myth about being a comedian then?
Oh, that you're funny at 100% all the time.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
I am so not funny.
Like everyone that knows I do comedy, everyone that asks me, tells a joke, I pretty much every single time say – I don't know any.
Yeah.
Well, I just, no.
Or pay me.
Pay me, Emmett.
No, yeah. Because my the jokes that I write are designed to be spoken on stage, yep. Not in conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't, it doesn't work in that no. sort of way.
It doesn't translate, yeah.
I love testing them out on people when they don't realise, though.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. That's one of my favourites.
Have you got any that you can just, like, literally just say?
No, like, if I'm thinking about something, you know, like, we were trying to save water because we're on rainwater. And so my husband came out of the toilet. I'm like, did you flush? And he goes, I thought we don't flush for wees. And, you know, and I'm just like, oh, no, just random stuff like that. And so I'll check out with my girl mates, like, and then he said this. And, like, no one laughed. I'm like, okay, well, I won't use that on stage. You know, like, they're like, it's because you're low on water. But if I forget that first bit and don't say it's because we're low on water at home and say, oh, I don't think we're flush, but we're, you know, like, yeah. It's a 40-year-old man saying that. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It is still good to test it.
Oh, it is. I've got 3 boys and boy pee stinks. I'm like, just flush it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No rules.
Get rid of that.
Yes.
We've got a stray cat at our house at the moment as well, and it keeps headbutting the window after my cat, who's a completely indoor cat. And so I was explaining to my boys recently, you know, that I was getting his kitty litter and spreading around the yard to scent his territory. Yeah. I do random stuff. And then my older son goes, he keeps going outside. I said, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I'm peeing outside. And, and I said, oh, mate, why? And he goes, I'm marking the territory.
And then you said, get out of my spot. I'm already weighing this spot.
I said, I don't think the cat picks up on human piss, mate.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, it's disgusting. All right. So
it'd be weird if you started rolling in it. That would be the worst.
Yeah, no, yuck. So if you were starting out on in comedy at any age, what would be some advice that you'd give to people?
Mine is, it doesn't matter what others think, like, especially comedians. If you think it's funny and you love it and you're not hurting anyone, you've got to say it. Like, it's got to be out there. Yeah. Because if you keep doing that over and over, then you'll find your voice. And I still have no idea what my voice is, but I'm sure it'll get there. But I have spoke to some comedians that have done it for like 12, 15 years and they still don't know. So maybe you'll never know. You know what I mean? Like, I was always like, one day I'll find my voice. One day I'll know who I am on stage. Yeah. Maybe it's okay not to.
Yeah.
Because it changes. Yeah. Mm. And that's big for me to know that, I think.
Yeah. There's, even well-known comedians, like, in their 20s, or so, they have one personality and they're really big, and then 20 years later you look at them, they're completely different.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Everyone evolves.
Yeah.
But see, you started kind of late in your life, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so did I, like, what was that, 35. So we obviously think very differently to the 20-year-old comics.
It's, and I think at that age it would have been a lot tougher. I would have been
big time.
I would have got a lot more down with anything negative.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And because if comedy's the only thing in your life, like, we go home, we're so busy with family and work and that. Like, if that's the only thing in your life, I think you would,
it's a lot more pressure on yourself.
Mm.
Yeah. I would say, apart from that, just record everything that you do and listen back and actually use feedback from what the crowd was telling you and try and maybe... If it didn't work at all, you have to do something. Either not do it or try and change it and try it again. Just, give yourself, like, your own feedback from and try and change things based on that, because a lot of people don't record at all and don't actually go, oh, why did that work or why didn't that work?
Yeah.
Maybe it would have worked if I just changed this, so.
Yeah. I've recorded every set. You know, after a bad one, do you wait like 3 days before you listen? Yeah.
Unless I've got a gig coming up the next night.
Oh, yeah, you have to,
You got to quickly.
But if it's been a good gig, you're like, hey, listen to this, and you make everyone listen on the way home.
Listen back at the car.
Did you hear that laugh? Yeah.
But it's transferable. Say your set may not be transferable to certain, like you said before, the 17-year-olds may not have got your mum jokes, whereas the mums do.
Yeah.
And so sometimes is it audience driven?
Mine used to be. I used to be like, I need a club set. I need this set for when I'm in the country. I need this set. And then I realised, no, I just need to be me.
Yeah.
Like, I've got to stop. Because even your biggest, best comedians that are out there, they're not perfect for every single setting.
Mm.
So, I actually don't think it's you need to change for each thing. And I only learned that from another comedian, Sean Conway. Like, why do you keep trying to change who you are? Like, let's just be Pony. And that's made me feel heaps better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't write differently because of the audiences, but I choose which jokes I say depending on what the audience is.
Yes. There's,
I have a bunch of jokes I wouldn't say at any gig except for like Nasty Show or something like that, or some sort of footy gig or something. I go, sure. Oh, they'll love that. But other people, I'm like, well, I don't know. Okay. This is the right.
They might not want dirty. They might not want rude and inappropriate. Yeah.
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 So and sometimes you do that as you're in your set. You go, okay, maybe not that kind of material for the rest of the set.
Yeah.
So.
And Tuffley, you have your art as well that you use during some of your set.
Yeah, I've done that for a while.
But that's really clever as well. It's a prop, isn't it? And
yeah.
So how did you discover to do that, and what made you drove you in that direction as well?
Jeez, why did I do that?
It was clever, but I really enjoyed what you did.
Yeah.
And you delivered very well.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that a couple of the jokes wouldn't really work. Well, actually, a couple of them didn't work without a picture.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that was the thing. I listened back and went, oh, I don't think that was good enough. But what if I do it with a picture to demonstrate it, and it made it much more clearer to everyone?
Yeah.
Well, some people might have been confused with what it meant, but with the picture it gives an extra dimension to the understanding of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't really done it for a while. Yeah. I've got more ideas, but I haven't been bothered to draw the pictures.
Oh, you've got to bring pictures. They'll be great. I'd love to see.
I'd like to get into doing some more, well, I haven't really done any, but do some songs and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Do you do songs as well?
I've written them, but I've never done because I'm scared to.
Do it at an NY event, the safest room in the whole of Perth.
Yeah. I'll look after
you. Yeah, that's where you test.
Solely Nicole. And Pony, you do guitar.
Mm.
I know early on we didn't see you for guitar. Have you always played as well?
Yeah, I've played since I was about four, but I was classical. So I just would, give me a bit of paper, a bit of music and I'll play it. So I never ever played for enjoyment. Like, you know what I mean? I played because it was, well, we've got to get this piece done. So now I'm trying my hardest to play because Mickey J, he is really helpful with the music side of things.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's just a background for your jokes. Like, it's not the whole thing. It's just, you know, dun-dun-dun, that will make that punchline stand out. That,
yeah.
You know that style? So for me now I see it more as a prop.
Yeah.
But it does also take up, say, 2-3 minutes if you're a little bit worried about your jokes. You're like, oh, I'll just add in a song that you know that's got a few good punchlines. But I've been writing heaps and heaps of songs. I want to have a really good bank of songs.
Yeah.
And so to be able to just rock up and go, you need a bit of FIFO song, or you need a bit of vegan song, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I would love – that's where I'm aiming this year, is to get much better at my – musical stuff.
So maybe you guys could collaborate here.
Yeah, I could have some Tuffley on some fat beats in the background, like dinosaurs with insects.
Do you ever have any doubts?
Always.
How do you overcome them then?
I just do so much talking, like, Pony, you can do this. Pony, harden up. Pony, get on that stage. You got this, girl. Like, flat out. There's always doubts. That feeling of, you feel so sick.
Yeah.
And then I've just got to remember, like, the jokes are in there. They'll come.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more relaxed you are, the funnier you are.
Yeah. They come, not necessarily in the right order.
Yes.
Yeah. I get so nervous every time.
Yeah.
I'm really nervous.
How do you beat that part?
You don't really. You just have to go on when your name's called. and that's what I was saying with the – as soon as the first joke's done, then it's completely different.
Have you ever gone on stage and become blank?
Yes.
What do you do then?
100%. Just giggle.
He gets his notebook out.
I did that for 20 seconds at the beginning of the gig without speaking because I just couldn't remember the first joke.
Whoa.
But it worked. It was fine.
Wow.
So just pretending I'm just doing something with the standard. Whatever it took
That's
to
funny.
Try and be somehow amusing until I could remember it. Oh, my God. And then it was fine. No, I don't think anyone noticed.
So. What?
Wow.
But yeah, that's cool.
You have to do something. You can't just do nothing.
Yeah. No. I always have my notes somewhere on me, especially if it's new stuff.
I can't read them, though.
Can't you? My notes.
People write them on their hands and stuff. I'm like, I still wouldn't be able to read it anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know, well, we don't know, but the first, when I was trying out, you know, stand up because I wanted insight with what you guys do, I admire you, don't want to do it, but I had written my notes on my hand. My hand got so sweaty, it disappeared. And I was like, oh, this is not good. Mm. So, yeah. Yeah, no, not great.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys share a favourite joke with us?
I can't wait to hear your task, Liz. Which one? Which one of mine? There's so many.
A favourite joke from us? Or
yeah, from you or someone else.
Okay, I'll do it. Just a short one. It's not too offensive. let's see. I was recently made aware that apparently it's incredibly rude to ignore people, especially when they're waving at you, which I think in hindsight probably cost me my job as a lifeguard. That was the most inoffensive one I could think of.
That's the cleanest joke you got.
Probably is.
I like that one.
Yeah.
So. They've actually got a lifeguard station now at Bunbury Beach, and I don't know if you've been there, but it's the most placid, sort of calm beach ever. I'm not sure what happened there, but yeah.
There's a lifeguard.
Yeah. There's a lifeguard station, yeah.
That's cool. Oh, yeah. Might be just for the photos, might be for the tourist.
The Baywatch scene, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Pony?
Anytime I've got a new joke, it's always my favourite. But I've got some that I wrote during lockdown. Because I found out that during lockdown I'm married to a trophy husband, because if he sits in the lounge room doing nothing for much longer, I'm going to pack him into a box in the shed. but my one that I've done a lot because it's so true and it happens on a weekly basis, so every time I do it, it's like, oh, well, this is a true story. I'm not even doing jokes. I like, you know, as a mum, you'd know that we have to hide. We're hiding a lot all the time in our house, and usually we choose the bathroom. And so, like, I could be in there for less than 20 seconds and already the notes have started flooding in under the door, you know, like things like, what's for dinner? I was like, well, I've already ordered myself a thin crust, so when it arrives, just slide it under the door to me. And then they're like, will you come out if I bring you something to drink? And I say, I'm not silly. I've already got a cask of wine in here. And then my personal favourite, but everyone's being mean to me. And I say, well, tell them to stop. You're the dad.
Oh, I do love that one as well. Blink's seen a lot of your comedy as well, and I know that he's part of it. And, yeah, he's always supportive and always.
He is.
Yeah.
He's like, anytime he stuffs up, he's like, tell him, love. Tell him how I unloaded the dishwasher when they were all still dirty. Tell him.
Yeah.
Tell him how we had to wash all the Tupperware.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, and often because he's away a lot, like I'll be writing. I do a lot of night writing when he's away. And I'll tell him and he's like, nah, like, you know, needs more. Or like I did a really – I thought it was hilarious, and he's like, don't tell him. Can I tell him? I'm going to say.
Yeah, go on. Because
I'm hoping that you can give me a better ending. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't know what to get him for his 40th. And he's like, I've got everything I need. I just want – give me an experience that the whole family will enjoy. So I got him a back sack and crack wax. But it needs more, don't you reckon it needs more? Like I was thinking maybe I could say something like his nana can't wait for her birthday. Or like I'm trying to think of something that would really just really bring that one home, because I love it, but he hates it. He's like, that is stupid. Like, why would you say that?
Wait, who said that?
I was telling him last night, like, what, don't you reckon this one's funny? He's like, nah. I think it's hilarious.
Did you legitimately get that for him?
No, but I thought about it. I can just imagine the whole family sitting around. We would all enjoy that. It needs work, I know. What's your ending? Come on, Tuffley. Give me something.
You could go in there as a duo and get it together. Yeah. The whole family went in.
Oh, okay.
You went in for yours, he went in for his.
Yeah.
You're both bald now.
Yeah, my sack's never been that. That's good.
It's really a happy sack, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, the happy sack. Keep talking. Yes.
This is like a great brainstorming session.
The hacky sack. Happy sack. Glad. I love that.
Yeah.
Love a pun.
Oh. Love a pun.
All right. Wake that one out. Have you guys, can you share any shows that you've got coming up and a social media?
Definitely better go first. This is going to be.
And to be in the past when this is on there. No, I haven't done anything for, about 4 months now.
Wow.
So I know. It's a
but
long
you've got
time.
Some stuff coming up, you told me before.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us.
It's all right. On Friday and Saturday, that'll be the 26th and 27th. Mm-hmm. Of that's at the Comedy Lounge, 7 and 9 PM shows. So yeah, looking forward to try and sneak a few new ones in there as well. Each gig.
Awesome.
I'm trying to put a couple of in each one. So.
Yeah, you always do really well there.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know how after 4 months.
yeah, I know.
It'd be terrific. And social media, where can people find you?
Well, that's my wife. I have Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Have you got a Facebook
that my
page?
Wife does all the stuff for. I have a Facebook page. It would be probably say David Tuffley Comedy, I think. And I'm pretty good at the technology side of things. So, yeah. I think Freddie's got
all right,
a
and
few more
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I've got a few. Obviously, being a part of the motherhood, we've got heaps happening, which is so exciting. 5th of July, 2nd of August at the Balmoral, 16th at the Landing of July, and that one sold out really quick. So we've got another one the following week, the 23rd. We are at the Stirling Arms in Guildford. Is that all happening?
Yeah.
4th of September with NY Events, and that's always an amazing gig, that one, anytime. As I said, NY Events, woo. We have our first ever Comedy Lounge with the Motherhood. That's the 10th of September, and that one's selling really good. We're off to Bruce Rock, Boxwood Hill, maybe Albany, Joondalup. So the Motherhood's going with plenty of gigs. The Balmoral, there's also a gang with Pinder and Wolfie and Simone and myself, and so that's happening Sundays. Have a look on the Balmoral website for that one. But an exciting one that's just happened for the Motherhood, actually. We were in a part of a Screened West program where we did a short 5 minute film, which is basically life in WA. It's like, and so we did a little motherhood movie, and we're hoping to do that on a regular basis throughout the year. So to be up, we went to the launch last weekend to be up on the big screen at Yagan Square, seeing our kids in it and, you know, us in it. It was a really special one. So we're hoping there's lots more of those sort of things.
That's because fantastic.
People like just to see normal stuff.
Yes,
you know, like, for me, before a gig, especially with my husband being FIFO, I'm doing kids' homework, lunches, dinners. I'm locking up the chooks. I'm trying to wipe mud off my boots. It's not just I might wake up and do a few jokes. Like, it's such a massive ordeal just to get to a gig. So it's funny. That's funny, you know. Let's film that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, there's so many people could relate to that.
That's so true, yeah. And NY Events actually has Friday the 3rd of July, which is Pride in July, and it's proudly supporting WA AIDS Council. So the 4th of July, we've got Guildford Stirling Arms. And
I'm on that one, aren't I?
You are, yes. Excited. Yeah, I'm excited too. And the 10th of July, we've got Comedy at the Kalamunda. And the 16th of July, we've got the Charles Hotel started. So thank you, Pony and David, for coming in today. And so, thank you for everyone for listening. Next week, we've got Andrew Wolf and John Pinder.
Oh, that'd be great.
I know, it's going to be lots of fun. Yeah. And lots of energy, I know, right? You're listening to Bounce Back. Thank you so much, everyone.